Thank you, Picker. I like hearing that song first thing here on Sunday mornings. And good morning to all you listeners out there. My name is R.T. Lowe, and you're listening to Cox Radio here, KTHT 97.1, your Country Legends, Cleveland, Houston. For Your Information is a public affairs program, and we try to have someone on in the community who can tell us about things that are going on. And we have a great guest today because she's a big part of our community, and as well as keeps a pretty good eye on what's going on in the community. Her name is Vanessa Brazier, and she is the editor, I hope I get all this right, the Cleveland Advocate, East Tex Advocate, and the Dayton News. Is that right?
That is correct.
Vanessa, you're also with a very important community committee, I guess is the best way. It's called a Unity Committee. So first of all, let's learn a little bit about you for those that don't know you, and we'll move on from there.
Which part do you want to know? The most important part is my family.
Well, you know, where are you from, and how did you get into being
from
an editor
of the
newspaper?
From the big city of Moss Hill. I'm a Liberty County girl. I was born in Liberty, Texas. I won't tell you what year because that would be indelicate. No, I don't have a problem with that. But I was born in Liberty, grew up in Moss Hill. I went off to college, came back to Moss Hill because that's where I wanted to be to raise my family. I wanted to be near my parents the same way that I grew up near my grandparents. I wanted my kids to have the same experience. And now my children are growing up with their properties next to me. And my grandkids are having the same experience that I once had, being right near me. And it's the best thing in the world.
And Liberty County is a good place to grow up.
It is great. We're in the process right now of making some cigar box guitars with the grandkids. And I don't know if you know what those are, but you take a cigar box and you cut it out and you put a hardwood neck in it and you add guitar strings and you have a guitar.
Oh, I'm very well aware of cigar box guitars. I thought cigar boxes were getting too expensive to make them.
No, actually, you can get cigar boxes for like $1 each.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, real cigar boxes?
Yeah, I just bought 50 just about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, when I go into something, I do it wholeheartedly. Yeah, and I like construction projects. It's something that I do. You know, the house I live in, I actually did most of the interior work. I taped and floated all the walls. I did the wiring with my ex. We did all of that stuff. I laid flooring down.
Of course, you've got a great thing that you don't get to spend as much time at as you would like. You told me you work with leaded windows and
stained glass,
right?
Yep. But right now my project is working on the house, and then my oldest daughter and her husband recently bought an 80-year-old farmhouse that once belonged to my great aunt, and paid $3,000 for it. We got a steal.
Wow.
Has all the shiplap in the walls. It's got all the memories. And just last week, we had it moved to our family land, and we paid more for the moving than we did for the house. Cost $6,000 to move it and $3,000 for the house.
Yes, it is expensive to move a house.
But one day that will house my daughter and her husband are going to add on to that house, and it's going to house my daughter and her husband and their three boys, and they will only be right down the driveway from me.
Aww.
And my husband and I bought land for our children this past year, and we're giving each one of our kids 2 acres of land so that they can be near us because we love our kids that much.
Well, that's good. And it's always, you know, raising the kids, the grandkids, I should say, closer to you and the families together. That's part of the endearing part of Liberty County. Families can go back a number of years here.
Yes, and, you know, I have a very tolerant husband who doesn't mind all the noise that the grandkids, you know, bring around the house, but it's my happy place, just being with my grandkids.
Well, you're also a rather busy person with the news. You're the editor, as I said, of the Cleveland Advocate, the East Tex Advocate, and the Dayton News. Now, you want to tell the folks a little bit about those?
Well, we've got, it's me and Jake. I have two reporters. I have David Taylor, who works in the Dayton area, and I have Jacob McAdams. Everyone in this area seems to know Jacob. He's from here. He covers the East Texas Advocate area, which is San Jacinto County, and he helps me with Cleveland. And then David helps with Cleveland with some of the broader issues and county things. Then Jacob and I also help cover East Montgomery County. So our territory is about the size of Delaware, literally.
Literally, yes.
Delaware. And but we manage it with just us, and we're doing it. We've been doing it for a while now, so.
And, of course, you take care of the online work, too.
Take care of the online, and I also manage the office because, you know, it's just Jacob and me in this office most of the time. And so, but, you know, we're putting the news out there because that's what we like to do.
And we're speaking with Vanessa Brazier, and she is the editor of, as we said, The Advocate, mm-hmm. and the news, Dayton and Cleveland and East Texas. And she's also with the Unity Committee. Now, you want to tell the folks what the Unity Committee is?
The Unity Committee was born a few years ago, when right after the city of Cleveland celebrated its 75th anniversary as a city, as an incorporated city. The committee was that it, we had it like an anniversary committee that was started by our former city manager Philip Cook, and after that anniversary, we all decided that we were working so well together that we would just continue on with other events because we had such a good time with that one. So then the Unity Committee started helping out with some of the things that I think that had previously been done by the Chamber, like the fireworks show and things like that.
Right.
And it's grown into a full-fledged committee. We have only probably a dozen members, but they're all very active in the community, you know, and we have the support of the city and our city manager, Kelly McDonald, and our city council, and, you know, and the mayor and everybody. They're very, and the EDC has been very supportive to the Unity Committee. They help out every year with a donation which goes toward the fireworks show that gets put on during the 4th of July.
Yeah, and you do, the Unity Committee puts on a number of events all year long. The 4th of July is one of the big ones, of course. But towards the end of the year, it gets really busy, doesn't it?
Yes. I would say probably, you know, there's probably not as much that happens in the spring aside from, you know, the Unity Committee helps with Clean Up Cleveland, which I think they've quit doing that so much on an annual basis, and it's been like a biannual thing. I may be wrong about that, but they help with that. And then we have Bunny Blast that happens every Easter.
And that is loads of fun, and you spend personally a lot of time on.
Yeah, well, I'm chairperson of that one. And I love any event that involves kids because I love children. And so if anything involves the kids, then sign me up.
And oddly enough, she likes chickens, too, so it works really well.
Yes, I have chickens. I have a peacock. I have a duck. I have a bearded dragon. I have a iguana.
And every year you have about how many eggs?
Oh, gosh, I couldn't even keep count. I have 20 chickens.
Yeah, I tell you, she has those, the natural eggs, and then there are the plastic eggs, because this is a, I don't think you get enough praise for this. You and your family stuff those plastic eggs that the kids pick up.
I have a lot of help from my kids, but I do get a lot of support from the community, too. I, you know, if it wasn't for the donations, like, you know, from just local citizens, and it's not so much businesses when it comes to Bunny Blast. It's a lot of citizens that come forward and just, you know, give me a $100 check or $200 checks. I mean, you know, the sheriff has helped out with it. You know, Bobby Rader, right. John Joslin helps with it almost every year. You know, we have people that are, you know, Gene McAdams, Paul Rich. We have people that every year they step forward and hand us money to go and spend. You know, Chief Broussard, he helps out with that. But they're just as dedicated to children's events as I am. And then, you know, a lot of them will come and stuff the eggs. But, my family does have to stuff a lot of eggs. It's kind of a given that whatever mom's involved in, they're going to be involved in, too. In fact, my daughter is the Easter Bunny, or she has been for the last 2 or 3 years.
And she gets to help spread the eggs.
My oldest daughter, Jada, she is the bunny. She is the Easter Bunny. And she has a blast. She gets to play tricks on her kids because they sometimes don't know that she's... Well, the first year they didn't realize she was doing it, and her little boy was only 2 or 3 years old at the time, and he was a little bit terrified until he realized it was his mom. And but she didn't do that until the big reveal at the end after all the kids had left, because she didn't want to spoil it for everybody else.
Yes.
But then we have, let's see, besides Bunny Blast, our phone is ringing up here, I'm sorry.
That's right.
Besides Bunny Blast, then we have the 4th of July. We sometimes help with the Memorial Day event. I think that we're still involved in that one, like a Memorial Day observation. The other big event that happens every year is Treat Street, and then we have Hometown Christmas, which is coming up as well. And both of those events are very popular.
And just before we move into that, I want to remind everybody we are speaking with Vanessa Brazier. She is the editor of the Cleveland Advocate, the East Tex Advocate, the Dayton News, and she is with the Unity Committee. And as you said, you have Treat Street coming up really, really soon. And you want to explain to everybody what Treat Street is?
Well, Treat Street is a trick-or-treating event that is open from children through 12 years of age. It was created to give kids a safe place to go trick-or-treating. In Cleveland, and a lot of people may not realize this, there aren't enough sidewalks in communities, and the lighting is not always great. And I'm sure it's the same for other cities across the area, but it's, you know, there are not a whole lot of paved sidewalks here.
No, there aren't.
And so the kids had to walk on the streets from house to house to get to places, and that was a big concern of mine when I first got here several years ago. And so I suggested to the chamber that we put together some sort of a trick-or-treating event, you know, getting businesses to support us. And first year, I think we had maybe 300 kids or so, and then the second year it grew, and then the third year, and I think now we're in our ninth year. Last year we had 6,500 people at Treat Street.
Wow.
And we're expecting that many, if not more, this year. In fact, it's gotten so big that we've had to move. We're not going to have it on Crockett Street this year. It's moving to the Cleveland Civic Center.
Now, just so people understand, in Cleveland proper, what is what they say the population is?
About 8,000 to 9,000 people.
So, folks, almost the population of the city
right.
shows up at Treat Street.
But I'll tell you, they're not all coming from Cleveland.
Oh, of course not.
They're coming from Shepherd, Tarkington, Splendora. You know, people come up here from Houston with their families. Like, if they have, like, grandparents live up here, they'll meet them here and they'll go to our event. It's fun. I look forward to this. You know, I will tell you, I grew up in a Pentecostal household where we didn't celebrate Halloween, really. And I'm making up for it now.
Are you now?
I'm enjoying, yeah, but I'm telling you, it's not meant to be anything scary or wrong or, you know, it's just fun. The kids get to come and get candy and get to wear, you know, costumes and be silly and, you know, hang out with their parents for a while and see dancers and, you know,
and the kids just have a blast. I mean,
fun.
The adults, if you enjoy children at all, you can see adults just sitting back to the side and just watching all the kids and,
yeah.
and watching them have fun.
Because
they
one's
all interact.
In tears. Everyone's leaving with more candy than they can eat, more
yes.
candy than their parents will allow them
allow
to
them.
Eat. And, you know, full buckets. We had kids last year that had so much that it was just spilling out. And this year, you know, like I said, we're moving it to the Civic Center. We're going to have booths lined up around the exterior perimeter of the parking lot at the Civic Center. We will have some porta potties in place because we're not going to open the Civic Center building for traffic. It's just going to be the grounds that we're going to use.
Well, that's pretty smart.
Yeah.
Real quick, would you mind telling the folks where the Civic Center is located?
Civic Center is at 210 Peach Street. It's right down from the Cleveland City Hall, and it's on the same street as the Police Department and the Cleveland Senior Citizen Center and Stancil Park.
All right, folks, and that's between 787 and 321, or I guess that would be Houston Street, right?
It runs parallel, yeah. Houston Street is like 321. It's the main street in town.
Right.
But it's parallel with Easy Street.
So that'll tell you about where it is. And You know what? We haven't even mentioned the date.
Halloween night.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Halloween night, which is on a Tuesday this year. We hold Treat Street every year on Halloween, except for if it falls on Sundays, then we will hold it on a different night.
Yeah, and folks, it is so much fun for the kids, but it's great for the adults. And I think that's one of the reasons you have so many people turn out, because it's just so enjoyable for everybody.
And it kind of takes the burden off parents from driving door to door and having to, you know, walk up to strangers' houses and
be nervous about it.
The people that are coming to our event, you know, we get a list of them, and you know, we check them out as best we can to make sure that everything's, you know, on the up and up. This is a safe event. That's the only reason that we do this, is for kids' safety and for fun. But you know, it's meant to be something that they I want this to be burned in their memories of one of the best parts of growing up in Cleveland was going to Treat Street. And long after I'm gone, I want it still to be going on.
And that's what, you know, you hope for with this, is you do work so hard. Is there any time for vendors, or not vendors, but participants? Is there still time for them to involved?
Yes. I've got a running list that I'm keeping right now. Our goal is to have 75 booths. Last year we had 65, so I always try to up it. Because, you know, as the event grows, so does the number of booths needed.
Oh, absolutely.
I have tremendous help. I had tremendous help last year from members of the Unity Committee, but from also Jesse Birch. He works for Smith Towing. You probably know Jesse.
Oh, yes.
And Adam Alpha. They have a lot of volunteers with, like, the soccer organization, and they came out and made my life easy last year. They helped with every aspect of getting the booths organized, making sure that everything was flowing correctly.
Oh, that's good.
So, thankfully, Jesse and his crew, you know, Jesse and Adam and their crews, going to help again this year.
And they'll even work a little smoother this year, because they'll have 1 year under their belt working.
Yeah.
And we are talking to Vanessa Brazier, and she is the editor of the Cleveland Advocate, the East Texas Advocate, the Dayton News, and she is a member of the Unity Committee. And we're talking about the event, the first event in the next 3 months that the Unity Committee has got, and that is Treat Street. Once again, you want to tell them where that's going to be?
It's going to be at the Civic Center. And I will tell you, there are some changes coming this year.
Okay, what
do you got? Like I told you, that, you know, we're not having it on Crockett Street this year. That's partly because the hospital is now there and they're opening, but also because we just did not have enough space for everything. We were having to, like, spread out around corners and things. We think now that moving it to the Civic Center will have enough room for everything. And McCoy's is going to come and do a haunted, not a haunted house, but like a little haunted maze type thing.
Oh, okay.
They're going to come do that again, thanks to Mike and his crew at McCoy's for coming to do that. I will need some volunteers to help tear it down afterward. Last year, you know, I kind of got rigged into doing some of the tear down myself, which is fine because I'm good at it. I'm really good at demo. You can ask my husband.
You can tear things down, huh?
Well, we're rebuilding a deck right now, and I'm the demo crew.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I'm really good with a hammer. But one of the changes is that it's moving to a new location, and we're also not going to have a line. When people arrive, they can just walk in. There'll be no line. There'll be no need to show up at 4 o'clock to stand in line so that you're one of the first people to get through the line. We're just going to let people come and go.
Okay. Well, and that'll be a little more natural.
And we're going to see how that works.
It might
actually work out really well.
Yeah, if everybody just pays attention and tries to
get along. And doesn't abuse it. The biggest problem we have is, you know, we don't want people to come in there and, you know, and have teenagers trick-or-treating, or have, you know, parents with no children trick-or-treating.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want to abuse our businesses that have graciously offered to participate and bring candy. We don't want to put an additional burden on them for having people mooching off of it, I guess, is the right way to say that.
Well, you know, you do have to watch that to some degree, but
yeah.
it did get kind of tiresome for some people that do show up early, you know, in the lines, but you did get everybody through fairly quickly, and they got a lot of stuff. Now, that's the thing. How many vendors did you say?
Last year we had like 65. This year our goal is 75.
So
I will tell you, though, that, you know, I've run a couple of newspaper articles about it, but it's easy to get people in Cleveland to do anything for kids.
Yeah.
Especially with this event, with Bunny Blast, I don't have a problem getting people to support it. I think that they're happy to do something that they can see going toward the kids.
And I think that the fact that this community is a great place to raise your kids, you know, the whole Liberty County, Cleveland,
yeah.
And this part, you know, and, you know, we're including Splendora and Shepherd and people, you know, because we're up in, for those of you that aren't familiar, we're in a kind of a tri-county area. You can throw a rock and hit three different counties. So.
Yeah, yeah. But people in Cleveland have been really good about supporting kids' events, in my opinion.
And you've got another, and we will get back to that just before we shut this off, but I wanted to make sure that we had time to talk about Christmas.
Oh, well, can I tell you one more thing about this?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Parking.
Parking,
parking, parking. Now, people may think, oh, well, there's not going to be any parking at the Civic Center. No, there won't be any parking at the Civic Center. We're going to close off Peach Street at Azalea Terrace so that the residents who live there can get in and out. And then the police department's going to close it off at the other end, just in between the Civic Center and Stansel Park's driveways. People will be able to park in Stansel Park, and they will be able to park in the FFA parking lot that they can access off of Easy Street. It's the same parking area that gets used by rodeo,
right?
As long as the weather's good. And the weather is supposed to be good, so we're hoping that the parking lot will be nice and dry and safe for the kids to walk in. And the Cleveland Senior Citizens Center there that's not very far, right next door to the police department, has graciously agreed to let us use their parking lot for free to put people in, and we will have someone out there helping them get parked.
That's a good idea.
And Chief Broussard and his people will be there ensuring safety. But it'd be a good time for kids to come see fire trucks, and to see, like, the big wreckers. You know, the little kids love seeing fire trucks police cars. Rex Evans, police chief from Cleveland ISD, will have his officers there, and he will have a patrol vehicle. I think nearly every campus from Cleveland ISD is going to have a booth. Last year, Ed Husk, the principal at Northside, went all out, and he created a pirate ship with his team there. it was amazing. It was amazing. And I don't know what they're going to do this year, but I'm sure they're going to surprise us.
And everybody, you know, it's so much fun when they do things like that. Everybody just gets involved in it.
Yes. Yeah, it's great.
I want to remind everybody again, we're speaking with Vanessa Brazier. She is the editor of The Advocate in Cleveland, the East Texas Advocate, and the Dayton News, as well as the Unity Committee, which is sponsoring Treat Street. Now,
mm-hmm.
This is give them the times and the
October 31st. It starts at 6 o'clock. It will end at 8 o'clock. If you are doing a booth, you can start setting up your booth at 4:30. And we're going to ask anyone who has a vehicle to go then and park it at Stansel Park before the event starts, because we don't want people with their cars taking up space at the Civic Center, because we're going to need all that space for booths.
Yes, the people are going to need the room to get around and the booths.
Yeah, it's going to be a great time. It doesn't cost anything unless you're hosting a booth and you have to buy 5,000 pieces of candy. But it's free to all the families. Just be sure that they bring, you know, a bag or something big enough to carry home all the candy.
Yeah, bring your own bags.
Bring a bag, yeah. I mean, like a shopping bag or a large Halloween bag. Or some of those reusable shopping bags that are made out of cloth. Those work great.
Yeah, I think those are very useful.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing how many things those get used for your groceries.
Yeah, but I mean, they'll probably go home with a full bag of candy.
And folks, it is free. This is a free event. And everybody else gets to have a good time. You know, the people that provide the candy, the businesses and the people like that, they have a good time and in some cases, as you're saying, the play act from the pirate ship or whatever, and they dress up too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I've not heard complaints from anybody who's participated and hosted a booth, except for the fact that, you know, there's just so many kids and they weren't, it's basically been the success of the event has been like overwhelming. That's
yes. It is surprising how many people turned out last year. Well, it's been growing every year.
And we have to keep trying to guess how much we're going to grow. I guess we're kind of in the same situation like Cleveland ISD, where they're having to guess how big they're going to get.
Yes.
You know, how many high schools do we need to add on in 10 years? Well, with us, we have to kind of guess every year how much we're going to grow. If we're going to grow this year, you know, is it going to be a huge increase? We just don't know until the day of.
Well, this ought to be a lot of fun. We've got a couple of minutes. So
okay,
let's
you want me to mention Hometown Christmas?
Yes, let's tease Hometown Christmas.
Hometown Christmas is held on the first Saturday in December, and it is going to be a wonderful time to come and get. It's going to be held on the Friday and Saturday this year. We had planned to have it on just one day, but the vendors wanted to have it a two-day event, so it's going to be on Friday and Saturday at the Cleveland Civic Center. There will be a finale with a downtown lighted Christmas parade that will start probably around 6 o'clock in the evening that Saturday. When I'm saying that Saturday, I don't have a calendar in front of me, but I need to get one, don't I? That would be December the 1st and 2nd.
Okay.
And that the Christmas parade will be December 2nd. It's a lighted parade, and if anyone wants to register for that parade, they can contact Frieda Joyce. She's the chairperson of Hometown Christmas for the Unity Committee at the Civic Center. It's 281-592-2395. Or they can contact the City of Cleveland at 281-592-2667. She can give them information on getting a vendor booth and also registering for the parade. Now, I forgot to mention, if anyone's interested in signing up to have a booth for Treat Street, they can call me directly on my cell. And that number is 936-346-1051. Or come knock on the door of the Cleveland Advocate when you see my car here.
There you go. And that's located on Hanson Street.
That's at 106 West Hanson.
I tell you what, Vanessa, I appreciate you being on. And I know those of us that know you know how busy you are and what you do. As your job and as volunteering with the Unity Committee, we do appreciate all the things that you and the entire committee does for the City of Cleveland.
Well, thank you. I think that everyone does it because it's a labor of love.
Well, thanks for being my guest today.
All right. Well, thanks for giving us some attention.
Well, that wraps up our public affairs for your information program for today. Thanks for tuning in. And Picker, key up your flat top and take us on home.